Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinda Shyama Kunda Radha Kada Gidi Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Gaur Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Samavetta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gopra Vrindi All glories to the Son of the Bodies, all glories to the Son of the Bodies, all glories to the Son of the Bodies, all glories to Sri Guru, Sri Guru, all glories to Sri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishnapasta Buddha Vishnumari Bhakta Vedanta Swami Nijinamani Namaste Sarasata Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Pashtacha Desha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Verse 37. Siryat Padambuja Rajat Chakame Tulasya. Lavapi Vakchasi Padam Kila Britya Jushtam. Yasya Sva Vikshana Utanya Sura Prayasas. And Tadvatvayam Shatava Pada Raja Prapanna. Sri, goddess of fortune, yet as Pad Ambuja of the lotus feet, Raja, dust, Shakame, desired, Tulasya, together with Tulasi Devi, Labva, having obtained, Api, even, Vakshasi, upon his chest, Padam, her position, Kila, indeed, Vritya, by servants, Jistam, served, Yasya, whose, Sva, upon themselves, Vikshane, for the sake of the glance, Uta, on the other hand, Anya, of the other, Sura, demigods, Prayasa, endeavor, and Tadvat, in the same way, Vayam, we, Cha, also, Tava, your, Pada, of the feet, Raja, Das, Prapanna, have approached for shelter. Translation, Goddess Lakshmi, whose glance is sought after by the demigods with great endeavor, has achieved the unique position of always remaining on the chest of her lord, Narayan. Still, she desires the dust of his lotus feet, even though she has to share that dust with Tulasi Devi, and indeed with the Lord's many other servants. Similarly, we have approached the dust of your lotus feet for shelter. Purport, the gopis here point out that the dust of the Lord's feet is so ecstatic and enlivening that the goddess of fortune wants to abandon her unique position on his chest to share with many other devotees a position at his feet. Thus, the gopis urge Lord Krishna not to be guilty of a double standard. Since the Lord gave the goddess of fortune a place on his chest and also allowed her to seek the dust of his lotus feet, Krishna should certainly give the same opportunity to his most loving devotees, the gopis. After all, the gopis plead, seeking the dust of your lotus feet is perfectly justified, and you should encourage us in this endeavor and not try to send us away. So in this verse, the gopis refer to Lakshmi, or Sri, who is the famous consort of Vishnu. And she's very famous, one, because she resides on the chest of Vishnu at all times. And, of course, we see that depicted in many ways. In Balaji, we see there's a Sri on his chest. And also, there is a golden lion on the chest of Vishnu, which represents Sri. So she stays there at all times, even if it's not physically visible. She is there at all times, which is an indication of the Lord's attachment to her and her attachment to the Lord. So she's in a very exalted position because nobody else gets that position. And here's described how even the devatas strive to follow after her. She is in a very special position, so others, devatas, they follow after her, trying to get her glance. And yet she is on the chest of the Lord. And still, she also desires the foot dust of the Supreme Lord. Now, of course, she can desire the foot dust of Vishnu himself, and we see that she does massage the lotus feet of Vishnu. So therefore, she's famous for Padasevana, serving the lotus feet of Vishnu. So in that sense, she is able to serve his feet. And similarly, not only she gets to serve the feet, but so many other servants are serving the lotus feet of Vishnu. Yeah. So she gives up her unique position on the Lord's chest in order to serve his feet. So therefore, even Lakshmi gets to serve the
feet, what to speak of everybody else. So in this sense, the lotus feet of the Lord are available for everyone. So in the same way as that, as Lakshmi is accepted at the lotus feet of Vishnu, the gopis speak of Krishna, not identifying as Supreme Lord, but simply because the Lord is so merciful to Lakshmi, so Krishna should be very, very merciful to the gopis and accept serving his lotus feet. They actually aspire for more than that, but they put themselves in a humble position. So their actual request is that Krishna does not reject them because he has told them to go home and serve their husbands and parents, etc. So in reply to that, they state here that actually you should be very merciful to us and accept us at your lotus feet. We want to serve you in some way or other, just as Vishnu is served by so many great devotees and even Lakshmi herself. So they also put themselves in the position of Lakshmi to some degree here, and that is not unjustified, because we often see the gopis, they are called Lakshmis, as we see in the Brahma Samhita. Krishna is served by thousands and thousands of Lakshmis. Lakshmi Sahasra, Sevyamanam. So Govinda is served by thousands of Lakshmis. So this is not Vishnu's Lakshmi, these are gopis. So the word Lakshmi is often used for the gopis and sometimes for Radha as well. Why are they given that term? Is because we can say that Lakshmi is an expansion of Radha and the gopis. So just as Krishna has his consort in the form of Radha, so Vishnu has his consort in the form of Lakshmi. So the ultimate Lakshmi, therefore, is Radha. And then her expansions or her associates are also like Lakshmi. So, in other words, the position of Krishna with the gopis is very exalted. It's not an ordinary relationship. And in many cases, we can say it's eternal as well, just as the relationship between Vishnu and Lakshmi is eternal. So the relationship between Krishna and these gopis, and especially Radha, is also eternal. So they're eternally the consorts of Krishna, and therefore they deserve that name of Lakshmi or Shri or whatever. Now, of course, by convention, the word Shri also refers not only to Lakshmi, but also to beauty and wealth and other auspicious items. So, of course, Lakshmi is the abode of all wealth and auspiciousness, being the Shakti of Vishnu. And similarly, the gopis, and particularly Radha, is the consort of Krishna. So then she also has extraordinary wealth and extraordinary beauty, of course all spiritual, which is, surpasses even the wealth and the beauty of Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. Since Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, so his consort also is in the highest position. So therefore, the beauty and the wealth and the powers of Radha are superior to anyone else. So she's the ultimate Lakshmi. So normally, of course, people and the demigods follow after Lakshmi. And some of them follow after Lakshmi for material reasons, because of wealth, etc. This actually is an inferior aspect of Lakshmi. So we describe Lakshmi in Vaikuntha, and then her expansion in the material world is another Lakshmi who is her expansion, but she takes care of all the material aspects of wealth and beauty, etc. So we often see Lakshmi depicted by herself with gold coins flowing out of her hands. So this is the material Lakshmi. So it's not exactly identical with the spiritual Lakshmi. Similarly, we see in the churning of the milk ocean, this Lakshmi appeared. And this is that material Lakshmi who gives wealth to the material persons, and people seek her for that. But she is a reflection of the spiritual Lakshmi, and part of her, we can say, part of those qualities are inherent in the spiritual Lakshmi, but spiritual Lakshmi has much more to offer. So, Lakshmi, of course, is dear to Vishnu because she is the best devotee. Her greatest wealth is her devotion, her prema. And similarly, with Krishna, the greatest consort is Radha and the gopis. So they have a more unique wealth of prema than anybody else. And therefore, Krishna is affectionate to them, as controlled by them. What to speak of material attractions or whatever they can offer? They can also offer the highest type of prema. And this is why the devotees worship Radha and the gopis, because they have this special prema. And by getting the mercy of Radha and the gopis, then we can also develop a similar type of prema for the Lord. Definitely they're in the highest position. So, though here the gopis are giving an example of Lakshmi, etc., whatever, they're actually in a higher position, much higher position. But because they are also identifying themselves as cowherd people, they speak with reverence of Lakshmi and Vishnu, etc. But practically speaking, or in terms of their actual position, they are higher than Lakshmi. And thus, we see that, as Lord Chaitanya points out to the Purohits in Sri Rangam, that Lakshmi also is attracted to Krishna in the Rasleela, even though she sits on the chest of Vishnu, she also becomes attracted to the extraordinary features of Krishna, which are non-different. He's non-different from Vishnu, but at the same time he has some unique features. So even Lakshmi becomes attracted to the aspect of Krishna. But then it is said that, but she cannot enter into the Rasleela. Why? Because she's not a gopi. Gopis are higher. So Krishna is higher than Vishnu, and the gopis are higher than Lakshmi. So she's not qualified. Because she does not have the mood of the gopis or the particular form and dress of the gopis. So she cannot enter into the intimate pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. So therefore the gopis and Radharani are the highest Lakshmi, the highest Sri of all, highest consorts of the Lord in the form of Krishna. And no one else can take that position. So even in Dwarka, Krishna has queens. And those queens also are not in the same position. Of course, we can say that the main gopis expand into the queens in Dwarka, so Radha becomes Satyabhama and Chandravali is Rukmini, etc. But still, not exactly the same, somewhat less. So the queens of Dwarka also are astonished by the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And they also cannot enter in because their particular form is different, their particular mood is different. This description here, the Rasleela from chapter 29 onwards, is a very unique description that is only available to those who are very, very qualified. And those who were qualified were the gopis. Of course, when Krishna performed the Rasleela, it is often mentioned that when they began dancing and singing, then the devatas were able to accompany them with their instruments and sing and dance also and glorify them, etc. But it is also mentioned that actually nobody could see Krishna dancing with the gopis. That none of the devatas could see that. They were not qualified also. They could see Krishna, but they cannot see the gopis at all. So they, that's the aspect of the Rasa Lila. They could see Krishna dancing, and they could see nothing else. They couldn't see the gopis dancing. So the devatas were not qualified also. Of course, they had male bodies, so they could not enter the Rasa Lila anyway. So, in other words, very, very high qualification for Krishna in Vrindavan, and particularly Krishna in the Rasa Lila with the gopis. Very, very high. So, of course, the great devotees understand this. So Brahma prays simply to, be a piece of grass and to get the dust from the feet of the people of Raja. And Uddhava also prays to be like a shrub, etc., in Vrindavan. Even though he has witnessed the and spoken to the gopis, he speaks to the gopis. Krishna sends him to Vrindavan to speak to the gopis, and then from that he realizes their great position. And he also simply strives to be servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. He feels himself completely unqualified. And of course, naturally, he cannot enter into the Rasa Lila also because of his particular form and his particular mood, even though he's very close to the Krishna and the people of Raja. So that is a very, very unique position to be in Vrindavan, and particularly to be in the Rasa Lila with Krishna. So initially here, we see that Krishna rejects the gopis also for various reasons, mainly to see their determination. Here, the gopis are replying by very intelligently speaking of how he must accept them, because actually they are the highest. They've given up all attachments and have dedicated themselves simply to Krishna. So therefore, he cannot reject them. So actually, they're higher than even Lakshmi, who they mentioned here. They're higher than that even. Of course, but they don't identify themselves as being higher in that sense because they take themselves as cowherd people. But they give this example here to show how generous the Lord is with his devotees. So similarly, Krishna should be generous with the gopis and respond to them in the proper way. So, of course, everyone in Vrindavan understands the nature of Krishna, as we see with the Govardhan pastime. Everybody experienced how Krishna responds to the devotees, and when they are in need, he protects them and gives them whatever they need. Not because he's Supreme Lord, but simply because he is so attractive. He satisfies them in all ways, so they take shelter of him. So similarly, the gopis also take shelter of Krishna because of their great love for him, and they expect him to respond properly. Since he responds to everybody in Vrindavan, why does he not respond to the gopis? So previously, of course, he was able to exhibit his response to various types of devotees. So when he was in Komara period, he responded to the elders with their Vatsalya Rasa, and he acted as a small child. And then when he entered into Poganda age, then he responded to the boys in Sakya Rasa in a very intimate way, playing with them and whatever, according to their mood. He would respond very, very appropriately. So now he's entered into Kaishor age. Similarly, he should respond appropriately to the gopis. Since he responds to everybody else, he should respond to the gopis also in a proper way. So this is their plea to Krishna, that he should respond in the most befitting way to satisfy them, as he satisfied all the other people of Raja.
Very much. This sadhaka, when he progresses, he comes into raga bhakti, and then he is at an appropriate time qualified to enter into vraj pastimes, Maharaj. That's what you understand. They are also qualified to enter into the vraja pastimes. Whereas Lakshmi is not qualified to enter Vraj pastimes, how to understand that, Maharaj?
Why is Lakshmi
A sadhaka can progress to sadhana bhakti raga bhakti.
Well, it's just the mood is different. The mood of Lakshmi, of course, is she has a relationship with Vishnu. And that is not filled with raga and the same spontaneous mood, because she regards Vishnu as Supreme Lord, in spite of the fact that she has Madhurya Rasa with him. So therefore, she cannot enter into something like the Ras Lila, in which nobody sees Krishna as Supreme Lord, and therefore there is greater spontaneity in that relationship. So her realization of the Lord is different, and therefore she cannot enter into those pastimes.
If a devotee is concentrating on a particular rasa, he must put 100% on that particular rasa. And if he tries to go for a higher rasa, is it not an adulterated thing he is following? It is not completely engrossed in that particular rasa. Lakshmi is completely his servant, Dasi rasa. But how she can...
No, she's Madhurya rasa.
Not Madhurya. She's not... She's entering... She wants a Madhurya rasa. She's hankering for it.
She's in Madhurya rasa with Vishnu.
No, in Vishnu, but she wants to be with the... But Krishna, yeah, Madhurya rasa is completely different.
But because her mood is different, she sees the person as the Lord, therefore she cannot enter into it.
The question is, why should she hanker for the higher rasa? She should be satisfied with the Vishnu.
Same rasa, but it's a slightly different mood. But because Krishna is all attractive, that's why.
Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sastra Kabunai Shavanadi Sadhite Kareya Udai. Is this the bhava inherent in the jiva, particular bhava, or is it developing over a period of time, Maharaj?
Well, it depends on what we mean by inherent. So if we say inherent, means it's present. So is prema present in the jiva, in the conditioned soul?
The bhava that we are...
Bhava, prema, same thing, huh?
Yeah.
So is it present in the jiva now, or not?
It is.
If it is, then we should have prema already, if it's present. So therefore, if inherent means present, then obviously not. The jivas are like the asuras are completely opposite and whatever, and we have to develop bhakti as it grows like a plant. So if it's not actually present as prema, then of course we can ask, well, is it present as bhakti? But even then we say no, because somebody has to plant the seed of bhakti. Yeah? Guru and Krishna plant the seed of bhakti at a certain point. So without that planting, we can't develop bhakti. So even bhakti is not present, what to speak of prema. And even shraddha is not present. Unless you get qualified with shraddha, you cannot start the process of bhakti and get the seed of bhakti. So then shraddha itself is that faith to practice bhakti is not even present in the jiva. And therefore they don't even do anything. They ignore bhakti. So in that sense, we don't say prema is inherent. Certainly, the jiva has a capacity for prema. All jivas have. But one needs the mercy of devotees and get shraddha and then develop bhakti and then develop prema. So capacity is definitely there. But it's also not inevitable that everybody develops prema, because one can just stay in the material world forever by one's own choice. Therefore, in that sense, prema is inherent, means only we can say that it's the capacity for prema, not that it's actually there. What actually Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema means, actually this seems to come from the nectar devotion, where Rupa Goswami defines Nitya Siddhasya Bhavasya Prakritam Hridi, when he defines bhava. Bhava, or a sthayi bhava, which may be shanta, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, or madhurya, manifests in the heart of the jiva. And it is nitya siddha. It is eternal. It is not created at any point in time. Why? Because it's spiritual. Okay? So in other words, the spiritual, the eternal spiritual sthayi bhava manifests in the jiva at bhava stage, through sadhana bhakti. Gradually, we see there's a manifestation of an eternal sthayi bhava. not that way. That doesn't imply that it's always there in the jiva, but it manifests in the jiva at that point. So then where is it eternal? With Krishna, spiritual world, etc. His shakti is eternal. And the different bhavas are eternal in the spiritual world. And of course, they're eternally there with all of the nitya-siddha devotees there. So those in Sakya-rasa have nitya-siddha, Sakya-bhava, and those in Madhurya have Madhurya, nitya-siddha, Madhurya-bhava, etc. So they all have a portion of that bhava, which is part of the sarup-shakti of Krishna himself. Hladini and Sambit-shakti manifested in them.
Lord Chaitanya, Krishna has come in this Kali Yuga as Lord Chaitanya, and he gave the Madhurya Bhakti. The holy name itself should take a devotee to the Madhurya level.
Yeah.
Which also depends on the mode of the devotee. Suppose the mode of the devotee is in Vatsalya or Sakya, it may not coincide with the Madhurya level.
Yeah.
So what is more important?
Yeah, of course, the name of the Lord is such that it includes everything. So. Therefore, if you desire different bhavas, that it can also manifest those. Harinam Chintamani is Chintamani. So if you want Shantarasa, you can get Shantarasa. If you want material benefits, you can get material benefits. If you want Mukti, you can get Mukti. And if you want Madhurya Rasa, you can get Madhurya. So actually, it could manifest anything for a particular person, depending on his particular desire. And if you want Dwarka, or if you want Mathura also, you could get that. Or even if you wanted some other form of the Lord, you could also get that through chanting Hare Krishna. Could, but the Krishna is the source of everything, so he can bestow everything. All the forms of the Lord are inherent in Krishna. And when he comes in the material world, all the other forms, avatar forms, enter into him as well. So he's a combination of everything.
Maharaj, Prabhupada mentioned somewhere that worship of Radha Krishna is as good as worshipping. I mean, for the devotee, it is, until they come to a level, it is Lakshmi Narayan worship. What should be your understanding? I mean, we worship Radha Krishna, but...
Well, we're doing it in Vaidhi Bhakti because we do Pancharatrik worship. That's basically Vaidhi Bhakti. So, we're worshipping Radha Krishna according to the moods of Vaidhi Bhakti, following rules and regulations, particularly temple worship.
Then how come he was allowed in to participate in Rasa Lila dance?
Oh, he took the form of a gopi, yeah? If you take a form of a gopi, then you could enter in.
But then Lakshmi Devi could not take up the form of a gopi, is it, Maharaj?
She apparently didn't, so. Maybe she was not so attached, you know, so she...
We hear from this Brihad Bhagavan that is mentioned that Krishna's Vrindavan pastime is so sweet, even the wife of Krishna in Dwarka, they also attracted to hear this pastime, as well as by hearing they also might aspire to participate in Vrindavan's pastime. That because
well,
so sweet, you know.
Yeah, in one sense, but of course they are fixed in their particular bhavas also, so generally they don't leave those things, even though Krishna is so sweet. So yes, they know about it, but still they remain in Dwarka, etc.
Here the Jagannath pastime, you know, this, all the gopis wanted to, also all the wife of Krishna wanted to hear Krishna's pastime. So, because it is very sweet, you know.
Yeah. So they understand, and like Uddhava also understands that exalted nature, and even aspires in one sense, but at the same time he never changes his body or anything like that.
So, we can understand that those who are living in Goloka and those who are living in Vaikuntha, this inhibitions of Goloka are higher than the Vaikuntha Vasi, correct? So, sometimes we see even some sadhaka might go from material world to the spiritual world, means Goloka Vrindavan. So, means he take the position of, higher position of the of Vaikuntha, those who are living there. He take the higher position of Vaikuntha Vasi. He take the position of higher position of Vaikuntha Vasi because he is in Goloka Vrindavan, although he followed sadhana bhakti here.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that means he is becoming more higher than the Lakshmi also?
Well, he's higher in the sense that if he goes to Goloka, then he's higher than Vaikuntha in one sense. But a jiva is always a jiva. Yeah? So we can say his bliss is very great, but at the same time, he never becomes Shakti or he never becomes a Supreme Lord. So his position is always a jiva.
So then, how can we call this, all the gopis, there are also Shakti or jiva?
It's not, some of them are Shakti, we can say, but many of them are jivas also, because there's billions and billions and billions of gopis. So obviously we have sadha and siddhas and nitya siddhas as well. So they are jivas, nitya siddhas or jivas.
Who are all energies, not mentioned anywhere?
It's not stated anywhere exactly who is Shakti and who is not. But we know Radha is Shakti, Ladini, Shakti personified.